morning, colleagues.
Good morning, Chair.
How are you, Mama?
Sapilo Mama. Papa.
It's already 10 o'clock. It's about time that we prepare to start our meeting. Amanda, can you assure us every person that is expected in this meeting is part of the meeting? Amanda, are we okay?
We are okay, but not fine, Chair. But you can start the meeting, but pause the other matter for now.
Okay, we'll pause the other matter. Let's have let me take this opportunity to welcome the DM Mapulane and the leadership of the department. Colleagues, we have the agenda in front of us. Can we fly to the agenda, Amanda? And of course, we're aware that today, as I'm the acting secretary, we're supposed to also attend to that, but probably it will be attended at a later stage. As Amanda is saying, we're not yet fine in terms of dealing with that item. Let's have apologies.
There are no apologies, Chair.
Why can't we have the agenda so that everybody can follow what's happening? Thank you. Colleagues, let me take this opportunity to welcome all of you in this meeting. Probably before the end of the meeting, the secretary will advise to deal with the other item. But without much ado on my part, allow me to allow the briefing on the final acts of the International Telecommunication Union E2 World Radio Conference 2019. That's an international agreement. I'll take this opportunity and give it to DM Mapulane, who's the Deputy Minister of the Department of Communication, to take us through. DM Mapulane.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the honorable members. Chair, let me take this opportunity, Chair, to thank you for the invitation and to acknowledge all the honorable members on the platform and the officials of the department. Chair, we are going to brief you on the final acts of the ITU World Radio Communication
Recording Conference, in progress,
which was held in 2019. So you recall that South Africa is a signatory to the ITU, which is a United Nations body, a specialized agency for information and communication technologies. And so one of the key programs that ITU deals with is a spectrum assignment at a global level. So the review of the spectrum assignment is done every 3 to 4 years, owing to technological developments, to agree on changes to the treaty, which is the radio regulations, which governs the use of radio frequency spectrum and satellite orbits. So this review necessitates all 193 member countries, plus one, which is Palestine, to meet at every global conference to negotiate the allocation of spectrum to various industries and for various use. Honorable members will know that spectrum is a scarce resource that requires its utilization to be streamlined to support a number of key national priorities, including universal broadband rollout. Universal broadband rollout, satellite communication services, aircraft services, maritime and the ocean economy programs, environmental public protection and disaster relief, emergency and security services, and other future programs to support economic transformation and to realize the objectives of the National Development Plan. The Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies is tasked in terms of the law under Section 34 of the Electronic Communications Act to negotiate and to lead South Africa's participation in key radio communication policy forum, including the World Radio Communication Conference, the Radio Communication Assembly, and the Africa Telecommunication Union preparatory meetings for the WRC. So the former Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, Honorable Stellan Daveni Abrahams, signed off on the final act of the WRC 19 following the extensive engagements. So the final acts of WRC 19 contain numerous changes to the radio regulations, which the department will take you through today. I also wish to indicate, honorable members, that prior to participating in the World Radio Communication, the department did extensive consultation nationally, regionally, under the SADC and at continental level under the AU to come up with African common positions. However, South Africa's positions were also endorsed by cabinet and are driven by national interests and imperatives. So coming out of World Radio Communications 19, the department has finalized its report back to cabinet on the outcomes and has revised the National Radio Frequency Spectrum Plan, as well as started the process of ratification in line with Section 231 of our Constitution. So owing to the delays in the suspension of activities of Parliament during the COVID-19 disaster period, the final acts came into force on the 1st of January 2021 at global level. However, as a country, it is still imperative that we ratify as we sign our international agreements subject to ratification by Parliament. Therefore, for South Africa to be fully compliant, ratification by Parliament is very necessary. And that's why we requested that we should brief you today, so that if we agree with the process, we should ratify this treaty. So the World Radio Conference in 2019, like its predecessor, brought together global stakeholders in a process that was aimed at building consensus to, among others, provide a stable and predictable regulatory environment needed for future investments, and two, to enable new radio communication systems and applications to access the radio spectrum, and three, to protect the operation of existing radio communication services, and lastly, ensure that rational, equitable, efficient, and economical use of radio frequency spectrum and satellite orbit resources. So this final ratification, as amended, will serve to benefit and protect the Republic during international coordination of radio frequency spectrum usage, coordination of satellite deployments to mitigate interference with national services, coordination and approval of any regional radio frequency spectrum plans. It would also ensure that there is conformity and to strengthen validity of the updated national radio frequency plan. And so as we present this request for the ratification, I will request that the acting director general of the department take us through the final details of this final acts. If you allow Chairperson, I would request that she should come on the floor and then take the members through.
Thank you, DM. Acting DG, you can take us through.
Thank you.
Point of order.
Honorable Nana.
I'm rising on a point of order. The DM has just referred to you as Chairperson. I know he might not know the inner workings of the NCOP. DM, he is an acting Chairperson, DM. You mustn't get used to it.
My apologies.
No,
the point of order is sustained, Honorable Chocolate. Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Acting Chairperson. If I may also not be called to order. Honorable members, a very good morning from a cold Pretoria. And I'd like to thank the DM for the introductions. What we are bringing to you today is something that is not new to this house. As you would know that South Africa is signatory to a number of conventions and treaties around the world. And for us, the most important of these is the International Telecommunications Union, where South Africa serves. It serves to support a number of our key of our programs, but the most important one, as we would know, is this one that we're bringing here on the World Radio Conference that deals with the most contentious issue of spectrum. Spectrum is a scarce resource, as the Deputy Minister has indicated, and it requires, therefore, that because most of the services that it serves are multinational or go beyond our borders, we have to make sure that we negotiate and agree on a harmonized allocation and approach for the multitude of these services that it enables. And for this reason, every 3 to 4 years, South Africa goes to participate at the World Radio Conference, which is a subsidiary, one of the sector groups under the ITU, to then negotiate on the new spectrum allocation band plans, as we call them. The last World Radio Conference was in 2019, and we would therefore like to present to this August House the final acts of it. According to our constitution, and as the DM indicated, that parliament, and it's only the parliament that can consider and ratify then the final acts, and this will then make it binding on behalf of the republic. So as much as we did the negotiations and extensive, the power remains and lies slowly with parliament. If you could move to the next slide, please. So this is the DM indicated that the then former minister signed the final acts on behalf of the Republic. And these were after extensive 3 weeks engagements at the conference itself. And why then we have to negotiate is that we've got these radio regulations, which are global treaty. And then each country will then either accede to those, alternatively sign with reservations. South Africa, our reservations obviously are, as indicated, informed by national imperatives. And the uniqueness of South Africa, as you would know, honorable members, we've got critical programs. We compete with developing countries or developed countries. We also, there are those in terms of landlocked countries, their priorities differ. For us is to ensure universal access, whether it's on broadcasting, telecommunications, And then secondly, we also need to support critical programs. One of those is the Square Kilometer Array. So we need to protect the GEO satellite and the orbital slots in that. And then we also have other programs which are very key, and I'm going to be taking you through that. So the outcomes of these, I just want to indicate that they are favorable to South Africa. All the issues that we had in as far as our own national interest, we were then able to preserve that. Next slide, please. The ratification will serve then to benefit and protect the Republic during the international coordination of this frequency spectrum usage, as well as ensure the coordination in terms of the satellite deployment and mitigate in terms of interference. Honorable members, as you would know, the most notorious of these for us has been the fact that South Africa has not yet fully migrated. And therefore, it also ensures that as we sign, we also put these footnotes in as far as certain of these spectrum allocations that we are still preserving for other services, as I indicated earlier. But it was also then to safeguard us, to ensure that when we are ready to accede or to conform with what has been agreed upon, by the fact that we have put these conditions when we were signing, and by the fact that when we do deposit then the final instruments after the ratification, we still ensure and protect the Republic and its sovereignty. So the revised radio regulations, which is then the international treaty governing the use of these radio frequency spectrum, as well as then the geosatellite and geosatellite or stationary satellite orbits, as approved by the resolutions, and then they basically would form the new revised regulations. They do have an impact on South Africa. And what we then also do through the regulator, ICASA, we update these national radio frequency plans, and ICASA then ensures alignment in terms of the licenses that have been issued to the various operators. Next slide, please. Just a very quick high level with regards to the outcomes of the World Radio Conference. The first one, as you would know, which is within the space of our sector, is on the mobile broadband. So the WRC allocated additional spectrum to basically support what we know as the 5G network deployment, and which will then enhance access to mobile and ensure more efficient mobile broadband applications as well as services. This will ensure that it's much more speedy and faster. The second one, again, still within our portfolio, is on the broadcasting satellite services. And this ensures the protection of frequency assignments and providing priority mechanisms for the developing countries, especially those within our region, to regain access to spectrum in terms of the orbital slots as well. This also ensures that the developing countries can deploy their own satellites. South Africa has ambitions for us to also build our own satellite communication services, and we will be coming back to this August House to appraise you on the developments of that. But this project is being led by the department with our state-owned entity, CENTEC, but working with the sector. The third area is within the maritime, this, in terms of the outcomes. This one talks to the maritime distress as well as safety system. The amended regulations ensures the expanded coverage as well as enhanced capabilities of this distress service system by adding on new system that is meant to improve services in terms of the competition in the market. Honourable members, I just want to also emphasize that what we appreciated about the WRC, this last one, was the emphasis in ensuring and improving efficiency of our various systems for safety purposes as well. So under this maritime, this is one of those that will then improve, enhance the safety system measures. The other one is related to the work that we do in terms of our research, supported by the DSI. This looks at your Earth exploration satellite services. Again, for us as a country, this is also very key, not only to assist us in terms of our R&D, but to also then ensure that the Earth exploration satellite services then will allow for use of the satellite tracking systems in terms of telemetry as well as control. Because, as I said, that the spectrum is very scarce, we need to ensure a very proper coordination for this. So this then allowed for excess or extra satellite services in terms of what is being proportioned for that. Next slide, please. Continuing in terms of strategic outcomes. Next slide, please. I think this was a duplication. The next one, apologies if you could, yeah, thank you. So the previous slide, please. Thanks. Just to emphasize, and I'm going to come back on the other issues with regards to the other critical outcomes as well. The WRC final X ensures, as I indicated, that the final X, because of the urgency of them, they came into force on the 1st of January 2021. But as a country, we needed to ensure that we still ratify, and the Deputy Minister spoke to this. The progress of work that we've done thus far is that the department worked with the CASA in terms of updating the previous 2018 National Radio Frequency Plan, and ensured alignment to the outcomes of the WRC. And this will then ensure, and what we want to, and it's always been emphasized, is that when we do the spectrum allocation, we ensure that there's adequate spectrum that is being put for the protection of security services, as well as critical government services as well. So this is your emergency services, as well as for our defense unit. And this is in line with Section 34 of the ECA. I also want to outline that the DCDT continues to look at the ongoing environment. In fact, today we're having a follow-up discussion with industry players, both looking at the current spectrum allocation, but also looking at plans for the upcoming WRC 19. So then we look at what are then these future trends and spectrum outlooks that the country needs to take into consideration as then we prepare for the next WRC. We are asking then for Parliament to consider the ratification of the final acts, and then that these basically would bring then the radio regulations into force in South Africa once we've deposited then the instruments. And the minister has already approved the revised National Radio Frequency Plan. But the importance of the ratification will then ensure that there's conformity between what is the radio frequency plan as well as then the radio regulations at a global level. Next slide, please. The normal process that we undertake to ensure that the outcomes are in conformity, firstly, to ensure that there's no conflict with our domestic laws. We've taken these to the Justice and Constitutional Development Department. The state law advisors there have basically confirmed that there's no conflict. And then we've also taken them to the Office of the State Law Advisors at the international, at the DECO, and to ensure that there's also conformity with other international instruments as well. Honorable members, our engagement, as I said, because it's extensive and it cuts across other government departments as well as industries, We work and facilitate a national working group on the spectrum, and this comprises of government department, our state-owned entities, sectorial organizations, as well as the private sector. We also consult extensively with the security cluster, ensuring that we preserve the services as well as the orbital slots for them. There are quite a few, the CAA, the ENATIS, the South African Weather Services, SAMSA, as well as PRASA, along with obviously the public and as well as private agencies and that deal with the industry, that deals with the radio sector in the country. And all of those, whilst all each one had their own interest, I must indicate that there has been a delicate compromise in as far as the allocation of spectrum. Next slide, please. So what we would like to bring and our recommendation and request this morning is then for the select committee to consider these final acts and consider therefore the ratification in terms of the outcomes of the World Radio Conference, and then for then Parliament to issue then the instruments of ratification. And this is in line with the section 231 of our constitution. Honourable members, the following slides and Honourable Acting Chair, you will advise, they basically unpack further into details each of the other outcomes. And I'll be guided by you whether you would still want me to take you through them, or alternatively, if then I can end at this juncture. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. I think we are having the a better sense of what has been presented to us in line with our role that we have to play in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Let's allow members to engage if ever there are some clarity-seeking questions. Colleagues, Mama Bibi, followed by Mama Ngwenya. Hello, Mama.
Okay.
Hello, Bibi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can you hear me? Am I audible?
Yes, we are more than audible, Mama. That is why
I
love you.
Am I audible, Chairperson?
Yes, that is why I love you.
Oh, thank you so much, Chairperson. Love you too, Chairperson.
Love you more.
Chairperson, by the way, thanks for the presentation. We welcome it. And my first question, Chairperson, will be in signing the final act international agreement. I've noticed that you made some reservations intended to protect the sovereignty and interest of the country. Now, can you give us just one example where the interest and sovereignty of our country can be threatened by the action of an ITU member state? That is my first question, Chairperson. And my last one, Chairperson, will be who monitors the signatories of this international agreement to ensure that the provisions contained in it are adhered to and also are implemented? In other words, if a signatory country fails to abide by these provisions, are there any penalties or sanctions that may be imposed on that country? Thank you very much, Chairperson. Those were my two questions, Baba.
Thank you, Mama. Honorable Ngwenya.
Thanks, Baba. Good morning, Chairperson and members of Parliament. Honorable Chairperson, my requests are as follows. I wanted to check, Chair, which other members' status have signed at the agreement to be part of the international threats on the International Telecommunication Union, ITU. The second question, Chair, to what extent has this threat benefited the rural province of our country in terms of ensuring that the radio frequency spectrum reaches the black of the beyond, of the poor, of the poorest? The last question, Chair, I want to check what is the legal opinion of the disability and technically aspect of this threat. According to the legal opinion, the state law advisor did not provide an opinion on this matter. Can the department give an answer? And thank you for the presentation, Chair. I'll come back, Chair, if ever there is a follow-up question. Thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you, Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Modise.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me greet the Chair and DM and my colleague. I've got two questions. In reading the provision of the international agreement, and for it to have more meaning, one will expect to find expression in government. In government policies, especially where it comes signatory countries, to increase the number of female engineers. My question is, are we on a course of regard to this commitment? The second one is, if a dispute arises between the two ITU member states as a result of the provision contained in this international agreement, what is a procedure in terms of resolving such matter? Those are my two questions, Chair. I hope.
Thank you, Honorable Disse. Honorable Anot, followed by Honorable Nana. Honorable Anot.
Thank you, President. Yes, let me also welcome the presentation by the department. And as a committee, a select committee, we note the outcomes of the World Radio Communication Conference 2019 and the ratification of the final acts. Acting Chairperson, the ratification is not in conflict with our law, so it will only require the amendment of NRFP. And I would like to ask the department in terms of the engagement with ICASA to ensure alignment. How far is that process and in terms of their engagement, and if there is any challenges in terms of that process? Then, it is important also in one of the comments that I want to do is for emergency services to have sufficient frequencies at their disposal in the event of serious events. So, and we know here in South Africa, we haven't fully migrated in terms of the spectrum. And then also in terms of access, universal access is also an important one. But Chairperson, yes, I think the call from the conference in terms of the participation of more women in the spectrum and planning, I think that is commendable. As a select committee, this is all only to consider now the final act. So yeah, I think that process will unfold as we go along. Thank you, Acting Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Arnott. Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Acting Chairman. It's actually a side issue that was raised by the Acting DG Mankala. In her presentation, she stated that the spectrum is a scarce resource, and I agree with that. Now, my interest is on the I'm trying to find the right English word now. My interest is on the fair distribution of this scarce resource internationally. How much of the developed nations are taking vis-a-vis how much of the underdeveloped world is getting? Is the spectrum distributed around the world on a proportional basis or equally amongst the nations? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nana. DM Mapulane and Acting DG, lead DM the responses allocating people that are relevant to deal with the questions.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. The most of the questions are quite technical, so I'll request that the DG, Acting DG, leads in the responses to those questions.
Thank you.
Who are supporting, so she can identify whoever is relevant to respond. And then I'll come back at the later stage on the issue of the delays that we have experienced regarding the migration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Acting DG?
Thank you, Acting Chair, and thank you to the DM that he's also going to take the difficult question for us. I'd like to thank the honourable members for their questions, and I think also for the support. Honourable, if I can go through, apologies that I did not introduce the team that is on the platform, but I think as each one takes up, they will introduce themselves. I'm joined by officials from our international division. And also, I think we also joined by one official from the infrastructure division who participated in the meetings. Coming to the first one, Honourable Bebe was asking in terms of the final axis. So there's two issues that we do when we sign. Certainly South Africa, we always want to protect our sovereignty. So what we then do is that we sign it with that condition to say that it must conform with our domestic laws. In some certain instances, not that we've experienced such, we wouldn't want it then to be in conflict with our domestic laws. But then the second issue that we had previously and what Africa had done was to preserve, because as you know, and I think it was mentioned on the issue of the migration, Africa was behind in as far as migrating. So countries would then opt to then preserve those spectrum bands still for the analog broadcasting. But I want to emphasize that because the plans for South Africa has always been intentional to migrate, we did not put this footnote in terms of then this particular migration. And so, yes, Honorable Bibi, we are a threat in as far as if we don't conclude on this migration, we foresee a situation if there is going to be interference with any of our neighbors who have migrated, that then the ITU would request us then to switch off those the signals or those spectrum bands not for use. It's not incomplete, but that definitely to then impact more especially in terms of your mobile as well as your broadcasting sectors. So it is quite imperative for us that we fast track this migration, because those bands no longer receive protection from the ITU. Even the last countries, maybe just to expand on that, the last countries who had asked for an extension, that was up until 2020. We know that countries, especially within our region, are still lagging behind in as far as completion of migration, even though there are fewer. But what we then need to do and what we have done is that we must negotiate this with your neighboring countries. South Africa, in this regard, we've signed MOUs or bilateral agreements with our neighboring countries to then basically facilitate this, that it does not get escalated at a global level, but we can then negotiate it between our two regulators. The time frame for that negotiation is also there to then say we must resolve this dispute within 30 days. Alternatively, then it gets escalated to the next level, which would then be the ITU. The issue, the question that was asked about who's monitoring the signatories, all of that is deposited at the ITU. So there is a specific unit or business unit within the ITU, which is the Radio Bureau, and they're the ones who basically, and even then the complaints for this would then be escalated there. Where the question with regards to penalties as well as sanctions, not in as far as the broadcasting, there are other instruments that talks about the interference. So, for example, member states, if you're seen, and I'm going to ask my colleagues to come in, who are the subject experts on these regulations. If you are seen, it's only in the instances of the interference of other, if a neighbor or someone else interferes within the orbital slot of a particular country, that then there are going to be sanctions or other penalties that have been put up. And maybe I can emphasize this, that's why South Africa takes such an important focus on this area, because of its magnitude and impact. To such an extent, honorable members, that we're putting up a candidate for re-election to the Radio Regulations Board, Mr. Magda Mtonu, who is then an employee at our regulator, because we want to protect this. We wanted to make sure that we have a strong candidate to be able to also protect the interest of developing countries against those of developed countries. We don't want a situation of bullism. It's certainly it is a contentious ground. Everyone who comes in there comes with their own interest, from interests in terms of the various industries and sectors, as well as even the service providers. So you would have then the mobile operators, the satellite service providers, et cetera, everyone trying to influence the space and ensure that they have then the adequate spectrum. For us, it remains still a developmental agenda. We want to ensure that we bridge the digital divide in as far as ensuring that all citizens have access to broadcasting services or universal services, let me rather say, both broadcasting as well as to telecommunications or broadband. One of the other resolutions that came out, in fact, a few of them, there was one on Wi-Fi. I'm going to ask my colleague, Mr. Doi, to speak to that, as well as the one on HAPS as well, which was also very key. This is talks to bridging the digital divide, to then say, let's augment in the instances where your cellular network coverage is not quite as strong, especially in our country. You'll see you've got areas where there are mountainous, we've got areas where there's valleys. All of that, we want to make sure that each citizen in our country has access then to broadcasting as well as broadband services, universal. So then we augment it in terms of the deployment of various technologies in those areas. But he will come back and speak on that. And that is the question that was asked by Honorable Ngwenya to then say, what are we doing in as far as the rural service? Ours is to ensure that we achieve universal access. The legal opinion, in terms of the disability, honorable members, one of the other objectives which we appreciate in terms of the ITU, they always seek to ensure digital inclusion. So there are programs within the ITU that cater for women, children, as well as people with disabilities. Whether it's going to be ensuring that the applications, the tools that we use, whether it's your phone or whatever, not, ensures that it accommodates the various people and sectors in terms of women, youth, and people with disabilities, or if there are then going to be programs that will seek to empower them as well. So, and there are also other sectors within the ITU, such as the developmental sector. That's, and we're actually going to be going to the WTDC, which is the World Telecommunications Development Conference next month, that will then make sure that we adopt then programs as well as strategies and resolutions that will enhance digital inclusion. The focus for this year is going to be very big in as far as looking at youth as well as women and ensuring that this proportional representation or equitable representation. The WRC was a very male-dominated sector, so they took up a resolution to ensure that there's more female participation. In fact, one of the resolutions that was adopted was then to ensure that there's equal female and encouraging, therefore, the delegation. Because what you then need to do is that if you have more women within the negotiations with the round tables, then you are going to actually then see the impact or the outcome of that being transformed in terms of then the resolutions that are being adopted to cater for that, to ensure wider and participation in terms of engineering for women, but then to also encourage girl child to also enter this field. But we also, the resolution was also looking at ensuring that in the elective positions within the ITU, as well as other related sectors, there's also female representation. Currently at the ITU, in terms of the leadership, the 5 position, we only have 1 female, and we want to make sure that we balance the scales going forward. The procedures in terms of the dispute resolutions I did speak to, but I'm going to ask again the colleagues from the international division to kindly elaborate on that. Honorable Arnold asked the question with regards to the National Radio Frequency Plan and whether or not ICASA has faced any challenges with regards to that. It is negotiated, but it is obviously ICASA is being guided by the outcomes of the conference itself in terms of that. But then more than anything else, as what we've emphasized, is that we would prescribe to them as government the services that need to be set aside for emergencies as according to the ECA. So we would be the department, as well said, the department will engage your state institutions related to both security as well as safety in as far as what are their requirements and needs. And then for that, we would then take to ICASA. But I must also emphasize that within the 5G spectrum that we are going to be licensing later this year, our policy for that is going to be very deliberate to then say over and above the emergency services that you would have for police, safety, etc. We also want to have set aside spectrum for broadband because we also see it now becoming an imperative universal obligation. So there is going to be set aside Previously, we've never set aside spectrum specifically for our sector. From a government perspective, we've always just allocated it to the sector. But we are going to be, we are looking at then a portion of that then being set aside to then ensure that what we want to achieve under the SA Connect as well as broadband, we're able to have then the frequency spectrum available for that. Honourable members, I think Arnold, I did talk about the participation of more women. Unfortunately, as a department, I think our percentage in terms of the delegation for women, we were at about 34 to 38%. We want to increase that. We do have a challenge. I need to be honest in this on this platform. In the department, we've got very few engineers, and in the area of the spectrum or frequency spectrum issues, we only have one, and we are trying to increase that going forward. The regulator is doing better than us. At least they have more female women. And then we're also encouraging the sector as well as those industry players to also then ensure a wider participation of women as well and to bring them into these international forums. Honorable Nana asked the question with regards to the spectrum in terms of its distribution as well as whether or not it is proportional. So the negotiations take place at a global scale. We sit with the big challenge that we have is that what we have to negotiate by and large has to be part of what is region one, which is with us in Europe. And obviously the environments are different. We're still developing and they're quite advanced. So they're always trying to push ahead. The rest of the world, for example, they've already done 5G, they're looking at 6G and others. And we are still trying to grapple in terms of just bridging the digital divide. At times we have a concession where then as Africa, we would then seek to have our own preserve space, or we try to influence and talk to other countries as well. So it is a contentious issue. We've been fighting continuously on the issue of Africa becoming its own region, because we certainly have the market for it. We have the number, quite a number of countries as compared to the European counterpart who are part of our region. But it's because there's an interest within the developed countries, as well as the suppliers from those countries, to then keep us contained as part of their region so that they can sell products to us. That we always met with the stumbling block. It is something that we are trying to, we continue to champion and push. At the AU level and amongst the head of states, we had commissioned a proposal for that. It's not just our sector. I think the other sectors as well, including the aviation industry as well. And we're trying to say that as Africa, we really need to stand our own. This will then build our own capabilities, because that's when we can start producing our own products and for us to sell within this market, which is quite expensive and big. But as I said, we were always met with opposition on that. There are other countries who do try to help us. Obviously, they have their own interest as well, because they think that once we're separated, then they can sell products to us. But the biggest win for us would have been that if Africa can become its own region, we would then be able to realize our own goals, certainly for South Africa, because of our capabilities, we'll then be able to supply the equipment to the rest of the continent. May I please ask, invite the colleagues from the department to then add on some of the issues in case I might have missed, and maybe then Mr. Doy as well as Ms. Lesufi, Cynthia Lesufi can add. Thank you.
Those that are supposed to assist.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Lola Medoyi from the Department of Communications, the director dealing with multilateral affairs. Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. Just to go back to that issue that Honorable Nana actually raised on the distribution of spectrum,
to compliment DG that, to say from a spectrum management point of view, one could actually say that yes, spectrum is equally available in all countries, including resources for satellite networks. However, to actually ensure that it's very important for developing countries, at least developing countries, to constantly engage with the ITU process and the conferences that makes these particular decisions to take into account the peculiar circumstances of our regions. And also on the issue relating to the disputes, I think what is important is to highlight is that the Constitution of the Union, that's where the rights and obligations are actually enshrined for all ITU member states. And knowing very well that radio signals do not actually stop at political borders, and other countries actually do not have the privilege, like South Africa, where you have all your neighbors, you are in harmony. There's other countries where there's contestant conflicts. That's when then they actually, because with us in South Africa, as DG has indicated, that we resolve these issues amongst ourselves, even without actually sending them to the ITU. So there is a mechanism when there's disputes to actually send such to the ITU. If the Radio Communications Bureau is unable to actually resolve those sort of disputes, they then escalated to about 12 experts that have been appointed across globally, which includes our own at this point in time, Mr. Mandla Mthunu from ICASA, which resolve such matters. If that particular board actually fails to actually resolve any of those matters on the basis of the rules of procedure they've actually established, they then get escalated to a subsequent conference for the member states of the ITU, the all 193 member states to actually consider. Just in closing, Chairperson, to go back to the issue that DG has highlighted, to talk to Wi-Fi. With respect to Wi-Fi, what has happened before, most devices, the conditions that were actually set was to actually operate these sort of devices indoors. If you actually operate most of them actually outdoors or in vehicles, then they actually cause something called a cumulative effect, which is a summation of the interference, which then actually gets to actually affect other radio systems. So the WRC-19 then actually worked on those conditions so that such devices could also be allowed outdoors on certain conditions. We also had an agreement on another technology called high altitude platform stations, which if this technology was currently available or was made available by the proponents to the operators in South Africa, would actually be ideal, for instance, now with the floods in the KZN, because it's more, the idea was actually to bring affordable broadband connectivity, especially with the infrastructure destroyed by this natural disaster. So it's quite unique in terms of actually providing alternate solutions to our operators to provide services to rural and remote areas, including mountainous areas, deserts, and also connecting the unconnected. So it's unique in that sense, but the technology will surely come into the market with the agreement that we've actually had at WRC-19. Simply paves way for this technology to also come to South Africa. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you. Let's allow the DM to deal with the delay. Honorable Deputy Minister Mapulane, the issue of the delay.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Acting Chair, my apologies.
Ha, 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 ha,
In chair, maybe I should start by saying I think this ratification come at an opportune time, and it comes at the back of a very successful allocation of spectrum in the country by the regulator ICASA some few weeks back, where the mobile operators were allocated, were assigned spectrum and given licenses by ICASA through an auction, which auction was very successful. My apologies, Chairman. I'm coming out of a very serious, terrible flu, so I'm still recovering from that. So as I clear my throat, you must please bear with me. So this was a very historic auction of spectrum by ICASA. As you recall, that the country has been struggling for some time for the spectrum to be allocated to the different mobile operators because of the litigation that we continue to experience. But finally it happened. Spectrum was allocated successfully to the different mobile operators. And we raised a lot of resources for the fiscus, over 14 billion that was raised. It actually exceeded our expectation. We were targeting around 8 billion from the mobile operators. We got to raise almost about 14.4 billion, which is good for the national fiscus, considering the adverse economic conditions that we are facing currently, and the fact that we need every cent, every rent that we can collect. So I think it's important to note that development on the side of the allocation of spectrum. In fact, Chair, this allocation is also going to help the country through our program of broadband penetration, rolling out of broadband to our communities. As you know, we've got an ambition that in the next 3 years, 80% of the population should have access to broadband. So it's going to help us with that, given that there are some obligations that has been imposed by the regulator to the various mobile operators, where they will be connecting various public facilities. So it also helps in that regard. We're in the process of unpicking what does this obligation actually mean. So that process is led by the regulator. Okay, the second point that I thought I should just make in response to the comments made about the delay in digital migration. We were actually briefing, I think the portfolio committee yesterday, just on the update on how far are we with the broadcasting digital migration. We have made some significant progress, Chairperson. We have switched off analog distribution to about 5 provinces. We started in the Free State. We went to Northern Cape, followed by Northwest, and we did Limpopo and Mpumalanga. So we've got 5 provinces that have been completely migrated. There is no longer analog signal distribution in those provinces. They are fully on digital television. We are left with about 4 provinces. The process to complete these provinces is well underway. We were briefing the committee yesterday, portfolio committee, to say that in as far as Gauteng is concerned, it's ready to be switched off and to be migrated to digital television. There's some delays in about the three provinces, which is KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape. So there are some problems that are experienced in the KZN as a result of the floods that was experienced in that part of the country. So some of the houses are completely washed off. Some of the houses are inaccessible. So there are some delays that are being experienced in that province. You recall, Chair, that the deadline was the 31st of March. That deadline had to be extended, or it was extended by the court. As you know, there was a litigation by eMedia to stop this process. Unfortunately, the litigation was not successful. Or fortunately, the litigation was not successful for us. The only thing that the court has directed was that let's move the deadline by 3 months. So we are scheduled to complete this process by the 30th of June this year. So the team is busy on the ground, ramping up, you know, the installation through Centec. Centec is building up capacity on the installers to try and get more installers to be deployed throughout the country to meet the deadline of the 30th of June. We think that we are well on course to meet the deadline. If there are delays, I think we'll communicate them to yourself, Chairperson. So we are well on course to migrate the country from analog to digital broadcasting. It's something that it has taken for some time, but the program is on course, and we can give assurance to the country that this process will be completed so that we can release the necessary radio spectrum to be allocated to the mobile operators, because some of it is still locked in there. But there's as we switch off the province, there is a restaking that is being done by, they call it the spectrum frequency restaking, that is conducted by Centec to be made available to the mobile operator. So we are well on course, Chairperson, after so much delay that was experienced. Otherwise, thank you very much, Chair. I think on the ratification of these international instruments, I think the point to note is that this negotiation takes place in an environment that is informed by the international balance of forces and by developments throughout the world. And of course, the developing countries would have to protect their own interests. They are negotiating in an environment which is not it may not be favorable to the developing countries. But on this one, the country positions that was taken as approved by cabinet did found expression in the final treat in this one radio conference in 2019. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for affording us to brief you on this.
And thank you. Thank you. Thank you, DM colleagues. This is the situation. We've been briefed.
Is it only me who can hear you?
Yes, we can hear you.
It means it's only you. colleagues, this is the situation. we've been briefed, they've responded to questions. For us now, it's to approve so that we can take it to the House, because in terms of this section 231, subsection 2 of our constitution, any international agreement that will bind the Republic must be approved by both houses, the National Assembly and the NCOP. So now the department has played its part in making sure that we understand. Anybody to move so that we can take it to the House? Colleagues?
I move, Chairperson.
Honorable Odise, move. Any seconder?
I second, Mama, Chairperson.
Yes, Mama. Thank you, Mama. Second. Thanks. Let me take this opportunity giving DM an opportunity to do a parting shots on behalf of the department. DM Mapulan.
Thank you, Chair. We don't have much to say except to thank you very much for approving these instruments. After the final ratification, I think we will proceed to deposit these instruments with the ITU. Thank you very much.
Let me also take this opportunity to thank you, DM. I saw you in Morning Live yesterday. Probably at some stage you'll come back with our program, allowing this thing of the post offices in our country. But we commend you, despite your flu, get well very soon, but you are committed, and at all times when we expect the department, we don't struggle to have either the minister or yourself. Happy Africa Day, DM and your team. You can excuse us so that you can deal with our minutes and the part of the acting once and for all. DM, thank you, excuse much, and to your team. Thank you, acting DG. We remain colleagues. We're just releasing the department. Colleagues will remain. Let's quickly dispose of the minutes in the meantime. We've received the minutes in time. We have them. Anybody to assist us to deal with the minutes to approve them?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Debray. Any seconder?
Ngwenya, Chair, second the minutes.
Thank you, Ma'am Ngwenya. The minutes has been adopted. Colleagues, as you all know that Honorable Nana was correct, even though I understand that it's a continuation of the debate of last night with Honorable Nana, because we had a very interesting debate in the House. So he thought he will have an opportunity today to deal with this issue of acting. So, colleagues, the chairperson of the committee was Honorable Matibe. Honorable Matibe was taken back to Limpopo as we represent interest of provinces. So I was acting. And now we have to deal with this item of electing a permanent chair of the committee, because you are aware, colleagues, that over and above assisting here, I've got other responsibilities. So without much ado, let me allow colleagues to nominate somebody that can take over and run this committee. I can see that the quorum is fine.
I nominate Honorable Zolani Khiva to be the chairperson of our committee.
Honorable Zolani Mkiva has been nominated to be the chair of the committee. Any seconder?
Ngwenya Chair, I'm seconding Honorable Mkiva to be our chair of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zolani. Are you Mkiva? Are you in the platform? Are you available to assist us in leading this committee, Honorable Mkiva?
No, thank you, Comrade Acting Chair. I accept the nomination.
Thank you. Any other nomination? Thank you, Honorable Mkiva. I hereby confirm Honorable Zolani Mkiva representing Eastern Cape as the official duly today given responsibility to be the chair of the committee. Once again, let me take this opportunity to thank you all members, and now take this opportunity and give it to Honorable Zolani to say a word or two, and is the one that will just conclude our meeting. Honorable Zolani Mkiva, now we are under your leadership as the chair of the committee. Congratulations, you are now the new chairperson of this select committee. Honorable Zolani Mkiva.
No, thank you, Chair. Let me first start off by thanking the members of this committee for showing confidence in me and electing me in this position of responsibility. I am very humbled, and I am really looking forward to working with you in taking forward the agenda of our country and the state, as well as the views and the feelings of our people forward. Chair, thank you for holding the fort. I've been in this platform since you began the meeting as an acting chair, and thank you for taking us through to the agenda of the day. I have not much to say today because, as you know, sometimes in a revolution, you need to be ready for the responsibility at any given time. So I am taking this responsibility with humility, and I will steer the way, and I will take counsel from you as the experienced members of this committee. And I will hear from the Honorable Matibe in terms of the handover. I will interact with him. But indeed, I wish to welcome also the congratulatory note. Perhaps you will congratulate me when the job is done. For now, is to get down to the business of what is expected of us in this committee. And once we have completed the term of office, then it's only then that you will congratulate us. Thank you very much, Chair. I am not sure if there would be another item on the agenda except the closure.
No, it's just for you to close it, Honorable Mkiva. After you have done your remarks, we are done with everything for today.
Wonderful. No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chair, for that clarity.
Congratulations, Babazi.
Yabonga, Baba. Thank you so much.
Welcome, Baba.
Baba. Thank you, Baba.
Home sweet home.
Thank you. Allow me to say the meeting is now stand adjourned till we meet next time. Thank you so much, comrades. Have a lovely day. And let me also say Happy Africa Day. And don't forget that we have a session wherein we'll be listening to a lecture for this important day of celebrating our liberation as a country and as a continent. So please do tune in. In the other platform wherein we will have a lecture. It's going to be very interesting. Enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you so much, comrade. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Baba.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Baba.
Recording stopped.